What's good, people? It's your boy, Matt, and we're back. Another episode, Talking Loud Podcast. Run up those likes. We're trying to hit 100,000 subscribers, man. Smash the like, subscribe. But if you guys want some of those fire genetics, definitely join up with the ICANN VIP Bean Club, man. Things are popping. Fire genetics are going out to VIPs all the time. So if you guys want to get those mailboxes burnt down, definitely hit that link in the description below. Join up with the ICANN VIP Bean Club, fam. And yo, that Quad Chips Germination Booster is what you guys need if you guys are popping beans, man. So definitely use this and you guys will stop losing seeds. Man, I know it sucks when you lose those new fire genetics, and I don't want you guys to. So hit that discount code ICANNTHC, grab some of that Quad Chips Germination Booster, join up with the ICANN VIP Bean Club, and you guys won't regret it, fam. I promise you. Appreciate y'all.
We're about to take it back.
No sound in the chat. Are you guys hearing now? Apparently, there was no sound in the chat for that whole motherfucking thing. Oh, my God.
My are we good now?
Are we good now? See, that's why we always got to do the mic check, audio check, man. Oh, man, okay. Chris, it's great, though. It's great. It's great to be able to just hang out and kick the shit regardless, bro. Man, right. People, we got it. We got it. We're good. We got it. We're good. Yeah, so let's just start.
Let's try that again.
Let's try that again, bro. Let's start that from the top.
Take two. All right.
Take two.
So, we're really busy people, so we don't have time to water. So all of these are sub-irrigation that we wanted to run versus each other. So we use the real buckets. We use the Octopot.
Yeah, before we even get into that, man, sorry to cut across you because there was no, like, audio from the rip, right? So we got to let everyone know what we're doing today. Today, guys, we're going to help you guys out when it comes to IPM.
Pest management.
We were a little bit blazed, man. We were getting too hot before, and I was just about to blaze and literally about to spark up another. And then I realized.
Hold that thought.
I got to chill. We got to chill, bro. But today's going to be a great show nonetheless, guys, because it's all about IPM, man. And like I was just talking to Chris about, man, we got a few different things that we were both working on, and Chris is growing some great, great plants, man. He brought over a few gifts for us to try out. We rolled a few of them up before the show, and that's why we ended up like this, man.
All right.
Chris, talk to him, man. Why are we doing like this? Oh, man. But guys,
just hanging with the homies, you know. That's what happens, dude. All right. We'll try it again.
You try it again, man, for sure. But guys, definitely, I want to shout out everyone in the chat right now. All you guys are so patient. Everyone tuned in right now. You guys, much love to everyone, guys. And I was, of course, shouting out everyone in the ICAN VIP Bean Club as well, because they have some new fire genetics which you got going on, a few things which I myself have been working on. And Chris is in the house, and he's been in the ICAN fam for a long motherfucking time, man. And he's got the hoodie on, too.
Yeah, is this a little bright?
Nah, man, that's dope. That's the fire hoodie, man. I love it. We can't miss you in the crowd.
Right, the I can guy in the orange. That's good.
Man, big love to Chris, man. Big love to Chris in the house, man. If you guys want to support, definitely join up with the I Can VIP Bean Club. The Bean Club is popping. But also, if you guys want to cop one of these dope-ass hoodies that Chris has got on, one of the fire hoodies, then definitely check out dieseldogclothing.com, man. We got a lot of new designs going out. 2024 is going to be a banger, man. I was just talking to Chris off air. We're working on a few crosses literally behind the scenes. We're going to have a few testers coming out as well. The ICAN website is up and running. You guys definitely check it out. It got shuck and taken down for a while, so you guys probably wouldn't be able to be accessing it, but you guys definitely can access it now. We got articles going up. We got a mailing list that you guys need to sign up to. If you guys want more info on the testers, definitely check it out. ICANTHE.com. That's where you guys can find everything, man. So definitely show some love and check. Sign up for that mailing list. That mailing list is going to be golden for sure. I'm literally working on some crazy stuff behind the scenes for you guys, so look out for that, man. But yeah, Chris, today is all about IPM. We were talking about the VIP Bean Club Facebook group, bro.
Right.
Before we realize you're on mute, right?
Yeah. If you're part of the Bean Club, just ask to join the Facebook page, and you guys are growing fire out there. Definitely looking forward to seeing what you guys got this year.
Man, I've seen some fire plants on that Facebook group, bro. Like the people who grew in some of that fire. And what the reason why we decided to do today's episode is because with so many growers out there growing so much fire, we don't want you guys to end up in a position where you guys mess up your plants, mess up your harvest. All that hard work goes straight down the drain simply because you missed something, or you just overlooked something, or you didn't notice a little bit of a bug that you could have picked up on beforehand. So today we're going to try to break down everything when it comes to that, man. And but Chris, before we actually get into any of that, man, we were talking about, you know, some of the gifts you brought over. You brought over some awesome gifts, man. You came bearing gifts, jays, jars of flour, bags of flour, everything, man.
Yeah,
so tell me a little bit about it, man. I'm seeing this one is Mo, Rainbow, Kush, Foop, and Recharge. You got everything labeled out. Grow Dots and Recharge, Red Devil Recharge. So talk to us, bro.
Yeah, we ran all these. We wanted to test the sub-irrigation pots. So we ran Scotty Reels buckets. We did the Octopot, and we did the Living Soil Grow Box Junior. And some of the strains were the same, and but a lot of them turned out way different. So I just wanted to come share and show. But the one that stands out is Mo's Grown by Foop. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even look, I mean, it's the wrong color. It's
so purple, bro. Like, it's crazy purple. I don't want to get us age gated because they did us that last time we came out here. So, you know, bro, but this is super purple. I'm going to post a picture on my IG. So check it out and check out Chris's IG, Kinder Auto Chris on Instagram.
Yeah, the other half, she is learning how to grow too.
Hell yeah. And, most grows. Most grows. Most is grow. Sorry, YouTube.
Yeah. Oops. No. We're past the first 5 minutes. I think we're good.
Oops or poops. Because we're going with the poops too, right?
Yeah. Some people are questioning poop, but I mean, for real. They're missed spray. We had two seedlings that weren't looking very good. And we sprayed them. 16 hours later, they came back to life. Looks great. So check out the Instagram, and there's proof of that stuff.
Wow, that is fucking awesome, bro. And speaking of that, you know, like I've always noticed that there are little ways that you guys can level up your grow. And there are small things that people could do, and people be like, oh, I don't need foliar sprays. I don't need this spray. I don't need that. But it's all about improving the efficiency of your grow room, avoiding pests, avoiding things that can come up, any issues that can come up. You always have to even be pests, right?
Yeah, and don't be scared to intermingle companies and stuff like that. You don't have to run all of one person's stuff. I do suggest running their A and B together, but not one person's A versus someone. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There are a couple companies out there that know exactly what they're doing with the pest management.
Big
and
facts.
You can't be lazy. That's one of the things. You have to decide what type of grower you're going to be. And if you want to have final product that is amazing, you have to put in the effort.
Yeah, that's big facts, man. Chris is spitting facts, and that sounds like a grower who's literally had some issues and overcame them and doesn't want to end up in that situation again.
Does anybody know what a thrip is?
Oh.
not a good one. That doesn't help your garden at all.
Let's stay away from them thrips, bro.
I got a case of the thrips. Okay.
Oh, man. Guys, everyone in the chat right now, everyone tuned in, drop in the comments and let me know where you guys are tuned in from, man. We got people growing all over in all sorts of climates, and everyone in different climates are probably facing different types of issues. Bugs like different types of issues. Powdery mildew and stuff like that likes different types of issues. So shout out to everyone in the chat. Let me know where you guys are tuned in from. I'm seeing our Kaz Gnome, Garden Gnome, already says thrips are super bad here in Texas.
Yeah, damn. I could believe it.
Damn, bro. Probably that humidity, right, man?
Yes, sir.
Hillbilly Herb is also dropping some of that info as well, man. Let's go, Connecticut. Despicable Dabs in the house. Shout out to everyone, man. Mrs. K's Garden, much love, man. Everyone in the chat. But yeah, man, the first thing that I think is super important when it comes to, you know, maintaining your garden and, you know, making sure you get to harvest, have that nice fire flower at the end, is to not have any pests in the first place, right? So you got to understand what IPM even is. Like, some people don't understand the concept of IPM, and all it really stands for is integrated pest management. You got to have like a routine, and you got to do it frequently, right? So what do you think about IPM?
It needs to be done. There's ways to do it where you're not always in there doing it, but you want to avoid the problem before it happens, because it's usually too late.
Yeah.
There are a couple companies out there that it's specialized in. Once you identify what the problem is, you can usually take care of it.
Yeah.
But we risk a lot because our plants go from veg to flower. And if you catch it in the flower, it's way harder, or you might as well just cut it down and start over.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you raised like a couple of good things there. You know, it's something that you got to do, first of all, no matter what level of grower you're at. You know, if your IPM routine is dialed in, you're very less likely to have pests. You know, you got to have early prevention. And I think that that's something that you sort of touched on there, and we can probably expand on. Early detection, man. You got to detect stuff early. You got to be in there with your ladies, always looking around, seeing what happens. Because sometimes those pests are super small. It's like, it's just a little thing. You don't notice it until it turns into an infestation. Then you're like, oh my God, like you were just telling me about springtails, and springtails are actually like beneficial insects, but you guys notice like a ton of them, and that could freak anyone out, bro.
Yeah, they were floating inside the reservoir. So every time we filled up the reservoir, the little overflow hole, it would spray out and it looked like milk. And one day I caught it and said, what is that? And I looked a lot closer, and yeah, we had a lot of them. Bro. So no, we don't grow that way anymore either.
And that's the thing, you know, like especially with IPM and organic growers. I know a lot of people in the comments right now will be like, springtails are beneficial insects. They're good for the soil, your medium and all that. And they absolutely are. But if you actually read up on them, you'll see that like they can be negatively affecting your soil if they're in like massive batches and shits are going super crazy. So you just want to also keep that in check. Like a lot of organic growers out here as well also know about like the fact that they just don't want to use like pesticides and stuff like that, right? They're already growing organic, so they're cultivating some sort of bacteria already, some sort of bug life, some sort of microbacteria life, some microorganism life, like all sort of micro shits going on inside there, bro. So they'll be very specific about what you guys want to do. So when you understand your IPM, that can actually minimize the use of pesticides and stuff like that, right?
Right. Or you can get the other creepy crawlers that come and eat everything else up. You know, one way or the other. I have noticed that with the living soils that they spent, it's a little bit more often. You know that you're fighting these bugs because you do have the living soil. And if one thing does get out of whack, then it can create other problems.
Yeah. Big facts, though. Like, that's 100% true. And, like, you literally said it just now, man. You're like, you know the script you're running on today. IPM, man, because you got it down pat. Biological controls. That's actually what I wanted to move on to next.
Okay, yeah. There we go. All right.
Because,
yeah.
like, a lot of people out here in the chat already are dropping the comments, ladybugs, ladybugs, ladybugs. And a lot of people will use those ladybugs. I myself have used ladybugs. And that's a great way to, you know, have beneficial bugs in there that are, like, they're predator bugs almost that will fiend on some of these other bugs that are negatively affecting your plants. Have you ever used like ladybugs or anything like that praying? I got homies taking pictures of praying mantises and little iguanas and frogs in their tent, bro.
I absolutely not. Dude, that's like the farthest away from clean room that you can get. You know, I know nematodes and all this other stuff, but if you don't have to introduce something, don't. And then the ladybug thing, they're great until they eat everything that they need to eat and then they die off and then you're vacuuming ladybugs.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot. You're not releasing three and it's taking care of your problem. Yeah. You're talking about hundreds.
Yeah. That's big facts. And that's something that I think a lot of people overlook because just like back to when I first bought ladybugs, man, I bought them on Amazon. You know, you can buy them anywhere pretty much. And they shipped them to me. They literally came in like a little box and like it was... They're all alive, bro. Like every single one of them was alive.
And then you let them loose.
No, but before you even let them loose, you got to put them in the fridge, right?
Yes.
So they were like, you got to put them in the fridge, and that way they will stay alive. They'll just go into like a dormant mode and like go to sleep. And then you take them out of the fridge, let them warm up for a little bit, and then put them into your grow room. Right.
Right.
And my homie Cat Bar Jones, you know Cat Bar Jones, yes, always out there showing love. He actually put me onto a video which said, like, you know, you gotta give a home for your ladybug. So a lot of people overlook even these simple little things. You can't just let them loose in the tent because like they said, like you said, they'll just eat everything and then fucking die. And probably most likely they'll die anyway, bro.
Right.
But like you gotta give them like some foil. What's it called? A piece of sponge, moistened sponge. They actually feed on that shit.
Right.
And drink water off of it and shit like that. And they also like eat raisins, bro. So like
you gotta keep all the... But the more that you add into your grow, the more you're asking for problems. I mean, where's that flow chart of what I'm doing today to keep?
I'm about to feed my ladybug some raisins. That's what I'm about to do, bro.
Twerking it, dude. I mean, we do not live in this sealed environment. So, I mean, things are going to get out or you're going to or get in. And you just have to work around it and try not to let things in. The thrips, stay away from your roses walking in and out of the house into
small
your
things.
Small things. I don't go as much as changing clothes and stuff, but I do wear different shoes, things like that. You just need to be careful.
Yeah, that is so true, man. Like a lot of people during summertime, especially, we were just talking about that, walk out into the garden, probably smoke a J, it's nice and warm. We come back in, then you bring in those bugs with you, you go straight into your girl room. Sometimes just strip off your shit.
Right. Take a shower. In the backyard creating content and then you're destroying everything.
And that actually happened to me, bro, because I think like no cap, that's probably how I brought some pests in my grow in the past, you know?
Right.
Especially living out in the Caribbean, they're everywhere. And then next thing I know, I brought some in. And it could also happen if you bring plants from outside, inside. Some people like to take their plants out when it's sunny and put them out in the sun to veg.
Right.
And bring them back into the tent. That and all is risky.
My rule is if it left the tent and never comes back in. Period. End of story. I don't care. We'll leave it in the windowsill or we'll leave it outside and hope it dies. That. but it never comes back. They actually
showed me a plan you guys got in the windowsill right now, right?
Yeah.
So what's up with that, bro?
This one started to show a little deficiency and an odd color. Yeah. And Mo said, I don't want to deal with it. So we put it in the windowsill, and it's got about 5 nodes. It's in a solo cup. 5 grams of grow dots, and it's pistoling, and it's
5 grams of grow dots, bro. I love it. That's like 3 pallets. Just a little bit. We just a little bit,
right? I mean, that's the formula before you transplant, but we're gonna throw some more in, but it's just an experiment to have a little bit of fun.
For sure.
And I mean, it goes to prove that you can grow under almost any condition,
literally, you know? Man, and that is so true, man. And like a lot of people, I think, you know, just sort of overlook that. So it's all about that IPM, guys. You got to dial in that IPM. And even if you're using ladybugs, just sort of be careful with that. Because like Chris said, you could end up with like a bunch of dead ladybugs. That's literally what happened with me. So after my fucking, I let them loose in the tent. They ate some shit. They did not eat some shit. I guess they were full. And then after that, they flew into the light. They flew into the fan. They were fucking everywhere. There were dead ladybugs and fans and lights and everything. Right? So you just got to be mindful of that. You got to vacuum that shit out, sweep it out. Sometimes it gets into that little corner of the tent where like the poles connect and shit. You just can't even get it out, bro.
You walk out of your tent and you hear the crunch forever.
Literally, bro.
I clean that up, but it's like every time.
You know? So, you know, just be mindful of these things. We're not saying it doesn't work, but you got to be mindful of it. And that's things you only get with experience, man. So, yeah, for sure. But like we're talking about cultural practices as well, you know, wash off when you go out and come back in, you know, but also things like proper spacing for your plants. Like, you know, don't have them all super stuck in together. Have some good ventilation, you know, just maintain a clean environment. Like we said, that can literally reduce a lot of risk, right?
Right. And you don't want standing water either. You know, if the water's not covered, it creates problems. You know, algae can start, you know, other bacterias and things like that, which you don't want floating around your tent, because you always have the air moving in your tent. So it doesn't really take anything to move all that stuff all around your tent.
Yeah, 100%. And just like Midwest Kevin also says, make sure to let your plant surface dry before watering and keep that airflow. Airflow is so important, man. So important. And Nunya is asking about, what about predatory mites? Well, there are a lot of different types of predatory mites out there. So, you know, do some research. So I actually had a Talking Loud podcast with an IPM specialist. Just check that out.
Let's not use Amazon to get our little nematodes and mites and stuff
Let's
go to, you know, people that actually send them, know what you're doing. Yeah. So you can get a bag that's not dead.
Yeah, literally.
If you are going that route.
Hell yeah, man. And shout out to everyone in the chat. Big love to Norma G. Norma G. Helping out as always, man. Much love, man. And guys, hit that like. Hit that like. Show some love, because we always want to help you guys out as much as possible. Even Chris is telling you guys to hit it. So you guys got to hit it, man.
Come on.
Let's see if we can get up to 300, 400 likes, man. Let's see how many we can get. Now, yeah, so aside from those things, Chris, I think like there are also some things that you mentioned before, you know, just education, like educate yourself about stuff, because, you know, you wouldn't know about like bugs dying in your grow tent and having to clean that up unless you educate yourself about it, right?
Right. Or even what they look like and how to check it out and see if it, you know, what's going on.
Because like we said at the beginning of the show, we were talking about springtails, and those could be beneficial in like the right amounts and stuff like that. So you don't want to go just killing off a bunch of beneficial stuff either.
Right. Yeah. You just want to be careful. And it all has to do with the way that you grow. There's certain styles that are very unlikely to bring bugs and attract stuff. And then there's living soil and stuff like that, where everything's alive. So the chances of you having an infestation, if you don't keep everything in check, is already going for you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And like, no matter, you know, what you're doing, if you think you're indoors and you don't get pests, like, you definitely can. But outdoors, you can also run into a lot more issues a lot easily, bro. Like,
yeah,
you grew outdoors out here in Colorado?
Absolutely not.
It's risky, right?
Yeah, I just because the way it is here, you know,
you don't want any of that light shining on you either, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no.
Yeah, I grew outdoors in the Caribbean, man, and it was like a shared compound sort of thing in the back where there's like a pool and everything, and I had my outdoor plant out there, and in flower, like, it just started to wreak the entire fucking area, bro. It was crazy, and people literally walking past, and like, once I was just home chilling, and someone came and knocked on the door, bro, like, literally knocked on my back door, and was like, hey, is this your plant? Like, it smells so good. What are you feeding it?
I'm like, no.
I'm not even gonna ask that that question. I don't know, I just give it water.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I'm looking that if I'm gonna grow outdoors, I'm looking to join the 10-pound club, you know. Yeah. So that thing would be huge. You know, man, some people would be big, knocking. Tall pet. Yeah, that's what you're after.
Yeah. But I did face a lot of pests with it, man. I think that's I got thrips, I got aphids, I got leaf miners, I got everything, man.
And so hard powdered egg mildew all the time, too.
Yeah. And out there in the Caribbean, it's super humid. So, like, depending on where you guys are at, tapped in right now, it may be super humid. I know probably down like Florida, Texas, is probably a lot more humid than somewhere like Colorado.
Right. But you can use the foliar sprays outdoors too. Yeah. You know, and just hope that the leaves soak it up and things learn to stay away from it, I hope.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not a specialist on outdoors.
Yeah. Same. I ran it a few times, but like I'm much prefer the indoors and the control and stuff that you can get, man. So it's all about the control. And I think being able to control some of those factors will really help you guys when it comes to, you know, having any issues. But a lot of people as well, Chris, you know, I think that we can probably touch on is that a lot of people like, you know, sharing genetics, you know, that is an awesome thing, you know, but you can also bring in things from clones, stuff like cuttings, you know, like people out at events and stuff selling a bunch of cuttings. I seen them have like 10, 15, 20 cuttings per table out on like Cannafest and stuff like that. And you don't know what you're getting with these cuttings. So you got to quarantine that bitch.
Yeah. So there's one person that I'll get a clone from, JR Token.
Yeah.
And that's the only person that I'll bring a clone in from. Otherwise, I mean, precautions. Yeah. Have it stand alone, watch it for a week or two, and then bring it into the fold. You'd hate to bring in a clone to wreck your whole operation that you've got going on.
Yeah.
Because it all spreads.
Yeah, for sure, man. And like, you don't want that shit to spread. That shit will spread.
Words of advice.
That shit will spread real fast, man. Oh, big ups to everyone as well in the chat, man. I've seen so many great questions, man. Like one question that came in actually from Reginald the Mechanic. Shout out to Reginald in the house. What house plants can you put in a grow tent that will repel spider mites? So that's actually a great thing that I did want to touch on as well, because some people, I myself tried companion planting. You know, you got some plants in there that sort of repel other bugs, like some plants like mint and stuff like that tend to repel other bugs.
Is marigold one of them?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read a couple of them. I've never done it, but we are growing garlic side by side with some plants, and we'll see what that does maybe.
Oh man, but I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what plants actually repel spider mites right now. But I know that like there's a lot of different plants out there, and you should definitely look into companion planting if you got a little space to add some extra stuff into your tent. What they actually do is like they may attract beneficial insects as well, and like those beneficial insects may get rid of some of those other ones. But if your tent's sealed off, you know, I'm not 100% sure how effective that form of companion planting would be. So
there are a couple of them that you can put in there. And if you see stuff on that plant, then you know that you have them inside your tent. They are attracted. So it's like an early warning thing.
Like
it
sign.
Gets attracted to that one. And you're like, oh, it's in my tent. It's not on my plants yet. Yeah. So what do I have to do to save it?
Yeah, I got you. And we got also, just for that question that came in, shout out to Momo's, always out here showing love and helping out. Definitely check her out on Instagram. It's quick on the draw. Cilantro and dill, guys. So you can definitely try those two things, because if you got spider mites, those two things, like I love cilantro and I love dill. I use it in my food all the time. But if you got those two things, then that could probably, like, you know, give you a little bit of a leg up when it comes to dealing with some of those spider mites. Because like you said, you notice it a lot quicker. And some of them, they just don't like how these plants smell, the things that they feel when they eat them and shit. So, got you. Garlic will also repel spider mites. So, you can try those things.
So, if you're all natural and there's foliar sprays to go knock everything down, you know, that you preempt it the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, run the whole time through veg. You're going to do this and then do this the following time and do this the following time. And then you're going to change it up right at the beginning of flower. And then you hope that you have it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And like Cadbar Jones says, you don't want to make the environment for those bugs. So I'm seeing a lot of comments coming in the chat, like lower temps can help. Like, just dial in your environment. Like, if things get too warm, too humid, too moist, this is when all these problems can occur. Like, it can start off innocently, and all of a sudden, like, because your environment is like perpetuating the shit, they're just like reproducing, and like, you know, you got a big infestation a lot faster now.
Yeah, and you don't want any standing air. And with the way that we grow, you know, there's three levels inside of a tent or inside of a room. You've got below the canopy, you've got right above your canopy, and then you've got a little higher up. All these microclimates can make problems too. You don't want standing air. So definitely make sure that you've got that air movement, air exchange.
Big facts, man. And standing air is a great one as well, because like, that is something that I've found problems with. Not only do your plants like not hold up the flower when they get to flower because they just got floppy ass stalks, bro. Like, you know, they're a little wonky, bro. But also like fungus gnats and shit like that love stagnant air, bro. Like they absolutely love the shit. Like they'll just be like flying around like it ain't nobody's business. But at least if you got some air circulation, they're like, okay, I can't find this. I gotta get down low. I gotta get away from the air circulation.
Where the sticky traps are, and then you get them anyway.
Yeah, and then you get the ass. You get them properly, bro. So
right. So if you just can't deal with it, just make sure that you're using like can of cocoa.
Yeah.
It's already pre-amended, everything like that. You're ready. I mean, not it doesn't have nutrients in it, but it's all set up. There's no really living matter in it, so your fungus gnats aren't an issue.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense as well. So depending on what medium you're running, because we were just talking off air as well, you know, like you're running 100% cocoa now, right? And with that, you're having a lot less issues with pests.
Yeah, I don't have fungus gnats. I don't have little flies floating around. We use the sub-irrigation pots. The top inch of my pots are dry anyways. So it's not ideal for anything to grow there anyways.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, man. Because like those little things can really throw off your grow, man. So many great things coming in the chat, man. You guys are literally, the chat's popping off, man. Much love to you guys. Everyone smash that like. Almost 300 people, man. We got to hit that like. Now we also see a couple things coming in. People saying they don't bring in any clones, companion plants for outdoor plants. That's exactly what I was saying. Yep. You know, people don't want to sacrifice any space in their indoor tent to have a companion plant in there. I feel that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that real estate's very, very expensive. Valuable, bro. A companion plant's not getting it.
Not getting it, bro. Like, even like having, like, what is it called? A res in my grow thing sometimes. I'm like, man, this is like, I could have a whole plant in here, you know? But a res does have a lot of great pros to it. But yeah. So
I moved mine outside of my tent to gain that space.
Smart, man. You got to do that. I got two outside right now as well. You're smart, bro. I also did want to touch on another thing, man, because, you know, like record keeping, you know, like when you run into these issues, like I spoke on this on the show with Grambo, like when you run into these issues, bro, make a note of what you did that was successful. Because me, when I ran into issues back in the Caribbean, and even to this day, bro, like I try a bunch of different shits. Some shits people say work, some shits doesn't work. Like people in the chat right now, I've seen, where is it? I seen Diatomaceous Earth, right? DE. And that's a great thing. So shout out to Jason West. He says, guarantee a clean room that makes for happier plants, better pest protection as well. Dr. Castile soap and Diatomaceous Earth. So the point of IPM is having a bunch of different things mixed in there. And for me, like Diatomaceous Earth is one of those things that I heard a lot about when I first started off growing. I was like, yeah, those bugs will land on this. And it's like little pieces of glass and it'll fuck them up and all that sort of stuff. Like it was like torturous down there, right? And I was like, yeah, we're gonna kill these bitches,
right? But find a company that you like, and usually they have an integrated system, so you don't have to guess. You know, so you find a company that you like, you trust, they tell you this and this, and you follow it like a recipe to bake a cake.
Yeah,
you know, hey, I'm not a baker, but I can bake a cake if you tell me how to do it.
Yeah.
So you grit this stuff, lots of good ones out there.
Hell yeah. So that's definitely a good point. So look for something that actually works, because like and figure out what works and what doesn't work, because there are articles out there on Google as well. Like they were telling me, you know, use dish soap, you know, mix that, or use rubbing alcohol, mix that and spray it down, that get rid of thrips when I had thrips. And that was not working on those thrips, bro, at all. Like I was in there spraying constantly. Like I got to the point I was just dousing fucking rubbing alcohol in my bitches.
Right.
And that was not helping, bro.
No. The only thing with dish soap is it helps to break the surface tension so that something else can be spread. Something else, dish soap's not doing it.
Yeah.
That's breaking the tension on the leaf, making everything wider. So whatever you have mixed with that dish soap will spread on that leaf. But dish soap by itself, no.
Got you. Yeah, makes a lot of sense too, dude. Because like you got to have like a routine with a bunch of things. Even with that diatomaceous earth, that DE, I was like using that for fungus gnats. And I'm seeing fungus gnats just hanging out on the DE like they on the beach, bro. Like they pulling up chairs and everything, dude. They got coolers, they got beaches in it. They just lying there on the sand, bro. And I'm like, well, I'm using this DE and it's clearly not working on these fungus gnats. So maybe I should try something else.
Yeah,
and
change it up so that they don't get affected, so that they don't get used to it.
Exactly. And that is something that I did want to touch on as well, man. So you don't want your like plants and these bugs, both of them are like humans in the sense that like they can get used to shit. So if you get used to something, you build up a resistance to it. Right. So if you just keep using one type of thing, like a lot of people use neem oil. Some people don't use it. Some people use it. But with that, like when you use it constantly, 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 the plants can just build up a resistance to it. And so will the bugs. The bugs will just build up resistance.
Right.
So what was affecting them a lot before is not affecting them as much.
And now they've broken out again.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got to come up with another solution.
Got to figure something out.
Yeah.
So I always say switch it up a little bit. Like mosquitoes, shit, back in the Caribbean, they intense, bro. And like usually we light like mosquito coils and shit like that, or use a spray. And if I'm just using the same spray, the mosquitoes are coming head on into me now, right? Because they fed up with that. They're like, okay, you've been using this for the last few years. Right. We build up a resistance. We're coming to bite your ass.
Right.
But like, it's just the same way with any bug, like in plants as well. So
right.
Switch up what you're doing. Like, use a few different things. So mix that DE, maybe use some peppermint oil. I see some peppermint sprays and stuff like that. And then you could also try some of the dish soap. Just try a bunch of different things. Mix it up and have a routine. That's what IPM is. It's a routine of a bunch of different things, right?
Yeah, because the whole idea is to get your grow set up for flower.
Yeah.
Because once you hit flower, a lot of this stuff that you spray is out the window because you can't get it onto the flower sites.
Yeah,
100%. There are a few. We're not going to shout everybody out.
Yeah.
But there are a few companies out there that have stuff that you can spray pretty late into flower.
Yeah, it's true, though, because like when you get into flower, that's when things get risky, man. You don't want anything to get sprayed onto your flowers. Nothing at all. Personally, like even if I got like any issues, like I will be super hesitant to spray, man. Spray anything. Like I'm gonna probably just try to get it away, or like if it's super bad, I may just cut down the whole plant. Like I don't know. Like what would you do if you're late in flower and you had an issue and like a lot of bugs, infestation of some type?
It's risky, but yeah. You can say, "Oh, we're clear here. Get it all, everything that you think is clear, and then wipe it all out so that you might have something." It depends on where you're at in flower. If you're at week 9, yeah. It's like screw it, cut it down.
Yeah,
you know, but if you're in like week 6, there's that window. But certain things like mold, spider mites, you don't want a bunch of dead stuff in the flowers that you're smoking. So if you do see infestation, I think you should do the responsible thing, you know, and burn it to hell.
Burn it to high heavens, bro. Get rid of that shit. Oh yeah. No, there are also like a lot of things you guys can do to, you know, just give your plants that extra boost. And that I'm seeing come up right now, shout out to Derek Graham, because that's exactly what we're going to move on to next. Things like silica, insect frass, you know, these are great options when it comes to preventing bugs, you know. So have those things built into your routine. Silica is great because like it builds plant cell strength and wall strength and shit like that, gives it that real strength. And a lot of these bugs, they like to pierce into the plant anyway, like whether it's the leaves, the stalks, they pierce into that shit, right?
Right. And if they can't get into it, they move on, you know. So
literally,
they're
like, this is too hard, population. Like, I'm gonna go somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting, man. So you use like any silica or anything like that?
We use insect frass. I use three or four tablespoons per gallon when I'm mixing my grow dots in.
Okay.
For my final pot. And bugs just don't like the smell of decay and dying other bugs. So
yeah.
I think
insect grass is good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I picked that up from Northern Scrogger.
Shout out Northern Scrogger, bro. Scrogger.
Yeah, definitely. I'd never heard of it before. He goes, "This stuff stinks to humans. What do you think it is to insects?"
Literally,
he's
bro.
Right. You know,
yeah, big facts though. Like insect frass is like, it's like, think of it like this, like those bugs are coming into like a graveyard of other bugs, like decaying dead bodies, and like
right.
I'm flying in there and I'm like, yo bro, all these motherfuckers are dead. I'm out. Guys, we should head out of here. Like a job or something just happened, bro. So they don't want to be part of that at all,
right?
But insect grass is a great one for real.
Yeah, there's additives that you can put in there to, you know, and sometimes if you want to, you can amend a little bit more insect grass as you get farther down the road. But I've always just mixed it in at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure, man. Those are definitely some things that you guys can try. And definitely use a lot of different things. Don't just use one thing. Like, you know, stay away from just using one thing simply because they'll build up that resistance. So if there's one thing you guys learned today about IPM, is that IPM is not just one thing. It's not just a one-stop shop. And you got to switch it up a little bit. You know, like, personally, I've been using Lost Coast Plant Therapy. Right. Sometimes I use that, and I switch that up with, like, you know, just my own personal peppermint sprays and stuff that I might find out of my local grocery store. So I just, you know, have a little bit of that. And, you know, just switch it up. But it's all about doing it constantly so you don't run into issues. Now, you mentioned earlier powdery mildew and stuff like that. That also comes into like IPM, and that's something that can wipe out your entire harvest. Like all your flowers at the end of your harvest, you can be like, oh man, these are all ruined. Like what I thought was good is now not good.
Yeah. So maybe we can throw environment in, because, you know, if you don't have that dialed in, that powdery mildew, and bringing the spores in, figure out where they're coming from.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, dude. Like, and that's something you definitely need to look out for, bro. Like,
yeah,
fucking hell, bro. Like, I think I seen someone ask me recently, like, if I got some flour with powdery mildew on it, like, should I just consume it anyway? Because they ain't finna waste no flour.
Absolutely not. No, 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 no.
Stay away, bro. Stay away.
No.
I mean, warning.
Really? Oh, no, no, no,
no, no. But that could really fuck you up, man. Yeah. Like, honestly. So we're always looking out for you guys and you guys' health as well. So don't run into some situation where you think, like, you know, I don't want to waste my hard work and talk on that stuff. There's literally contaminants and bacteria and shit like that.
You're breathing in spores of powdery mildew into your lungs, and it's going to grow inside of your lungs.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want that to happen. Now, I've seen an interesting one come up from High Times TX. Shout out to High Times TX. I can't VIP Bean Club, homie. Much love, fam. That's what's up. But he's asking, does anyone use the aspirin for plants? Interesting. Have you ever tried using aspirin for plants?
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I think I've actually heard of that. Like, the wider gardening community, some people actually do use it. And they say, like, because it's got, like, salicylic acid in it.
Okay.
Right? That actually helps them to cope with stress and disease. So, pretty interesting. Like, I guess depending on how you use it. Like, I think some people, like, literally just add aspirin to the water that they're using.
Okay.
You know, and that helps them grow a little bit better and resist those pests. I haven't tried that myself, but I do remember seeing that, and I just did a quick Google search, and I seen an article from California State Science Fair. It looks like it's an EDU, so that's probably a university thing too. So,
yeah, I mean, anything that'll help build the cell walls that your bugs and stuff don't want to chew on, you're good to go. But powdery mildew, you know, that's an environmental issue.
Yeah.
And so if you need to get your more air movement or defoliation, I mean, that's a big one. As you're going towards the end of flower, you shouldn't have too much leaf matter anyways.
Yeah, it's true. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. And good one, High Times TX. And thanks for being part of the ICANN VIP Bean Club, fam. Thank we you, always sir. Appreciate that. Hell yeah. And also the United Forge, he says nitrogen. No, my bad. Frass, insect frass. It has nitrogen in it. So you got to be careful with that. You know, if you are amending and you're using like a lot of blood meal, if you're an organic grower, you know, just be wary that that has that in it. And I think DE, diatomaceous earth, that's also got some level of silica in it. So if you're using that as well, that should, you know, help your plants as well in that way.
Yeah. And I mean, a little bit of nitrogen at the beginning of flower is not too bad. It's as you get later and later.
Yeah, you know, it's true.
When I'm mixing nutrients, you know, sometimes I'll run an extra week of veg nutrients during the flip and then go into the second week of the flower nutrient.
Yeah.
You know, just to give it a little bit more nitrogen, because some of them just can't make it through. They need just a little bit extra.
Good one, man. Definitely. And Black Forest Gardens also says aloe powder is the organic version of the aspirin spray. So good on out there. I didn't even like think of it that way, but a lot of people do use aloes, you know, in their IPM routines, but I never thought of the organic powder being, you know, like something you can use as IPM, bro.
Right. There you go.
Interesting. There you go, bro. That's wild. See, shout out to you guys, man. Everyone in the chat. That's where you guys are always here to share this information and knowledge. You all learn together, man. That's what's up.
Always learning.
Always, man. You only stop learning when you're sleeping in bed. And as Norma J says, we never sleeping. So keep on rolling them J's. Now, Sean Hess, man. Also, I Can VIP Bean Club homie. Big love to Sean Hess. Says, what do you call the tiny white flies and how do you get rid of them? Well, there's certain tiny white flies, maybe springtails that we were talking about earlier.
The white flies, I think, are more...
Well, actual white flies. Yeah. Early, actual white flies. Yeah, well, you actually call them white flies. Yeah.
They yeah. Are pests or the root aphids, too, depending. But they're not really white, right? The yeah. Root aphids?
No, they're not. They're actually, I think, a different color. I don't know. I'm going to have to check up on
They look like the fruit flies and stuff that you get when your fruit's out.
Yeah, just like fungus gnats, pretty much.
Yep.
And I hate those bitches, bro.
Yes.
I hate them. Like, I'm dealing with a fungus gnat problem right now. And, you know, for a lot of people, they do deal with that, you know. And when they come in, it's very hard to get rid of them. And for one pro tip that I can give you guys from me having to deal with that is that I like to use, like, perlite over top. You know, something like that. You can switch up the perlite with other things as well, like whatever. But the point is just to not give those fungus gnats access to your medium. Because when they go down into that moist medium, that's when they burrow down and lay eggs. And, you know, that's what they're looking for. So rather than letting your plants dry out, and I know people are saying in the comments, just let your plants dry out. You can absolutely do that. But for organic growers, they want a constant moisture, right? So, like, for the most part, you can just cover that top layer.
Right. And you can do it any way you want to. You can do it with perlite. You can do it with pumice. Or even a piece of cardboard over the top of your grow.
Shout out.
It's got that little opening for you to slide around the stock. Yeah. You know,
Mr. Grow It, I think, did a video recently, and I seen him having some cardboard, or maybe it was one of his older videos, but he had some cardboard literally layered over the base of his plant too, and that, you know, helped a lot with that IPM, I guess.
Right. And then Jared over at Build a Soil, all of his grow buddies have that top plastic. Yeah. And it's almost like a shower cap for the top of your pot.
Dope,
you
man. Know,
and you just cut the one hole when your plant's small.
Yeah.
And it keeps a lot of that out of the way, too.
You know what I sort of noticed as well, dude? Like, there are fungus gnats, like, they're so persistent, bro, that, like, even if you layer over the top of perlite, they will go down to the bottom of the drain holes and they will seek out that moisturous little square piece of fucking moisturous soil. And they will lay eggs in that bitch.
Yeah.
Like, literally. So I reached to a point, like, in my previous run in my old spot, I had to, like, also layer the bottom with perlite where the water drains out of. Just because of that, bro.
So that they can't get in.
Can't get in, bro.
You gotta block all the access. That's crazy. Literally. I would have never thought about through the bottom.
A lot of people overlook that shit.
Right.
Literally, bro. And, like, me, I was like, but everything over top is perlighted down, like, and then I just saw one motherfucker coming out straight, and I was like, let me see where he's going back. He's taking me back to the hood. So he literally went back, and I was like, okay, he's going down to the bottom of the fucking base of the pot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's how I figured that out, bro. But, like, yeah, and to remedy it, because some drain holes are really big. You know, you can pop more holes at the base of your pot instead, and rather than have those massive side holes and shit like that.
Right, you can cover them with duct tape or something like that and then change where the holes are.
Yeah, for sure, man. It was blazing up so much, me and Chris just had to take a water break at the same damn time.
Yeah, so with the sub-irrigation pots, we don't worry about the watering and the dryback or anything like that. The plant calls for as much water as it wants, and the tops stay dry.
Yeah.
So if you find something that works for you and you don't have to deal with pests, you know, more power to you, but it's very good to protect yourself.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to bring up is genetics.
For sure. Know,
because all these guys doing great work out there, and a lot of them are breeding for these stresses.
Yeah.
You know, so there are resistant to powdery mildew. There's a lot of strains.
Yeah.
So when during your selection, you know, if powdery mildew is an issue and you still want to grow this genetic, you know, there are stand-up ones versus other ones that can't do it.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And that's actually something I was going to get on to next. So like I said, you're on point with this, baby. You're on point, baby. So genetics, man, like, you got to, like, figure out what sort of genetics you want to run, because some genetics are a lot more resistant to certain types of pests, and some genetics just can't take pests at all, bro.
No, none.
Like, they cannot. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada.
Yeah.
Not a fuck.
It shuts it all down.
Literally, bro. Like, it just cannot take it, bro. So you got to, like, be careful with that. Pick like certain ones. And that's something I'm doing with some of the crosses that I've been working on. Like I was telling you, I'm looking for like, I'm not just trying to pollen chuck shit. Like I'm trying to look for like robust strains, and I'm actually making like a catalog with stuff that I've been working on for the past few years. And that's a big factor. You know, you got to look for something that can resist pests, because if it can't stand up to pests, bro, how can you run that? Like
right.
The slightest issue will mess that whole thing up.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't keep genetics around. I've got too many beans to pop, and I'm so excited.
Bean popper!
I'm so excited for everybody's stuff, and I want to try it. Yeah. So just from one to another, but I'm willing to keep a log, and I have been, about what goes on. So if I do say, hey, this one had pests where my other ones haven't,
yeah,
you know, so maybe to keep a watch out. And people that have been doing this for a while, they know what went wrong. You know, all of these that I brought you had a canoe-shaped claw leaves because it got hurt somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And we still pushed through and ran it.
Yeah. Some of them smell amazing, though. But, like, I did see, like, what you were telling me, showing me earlier. Like, they had, like, a slightly, like, elongated structure, almost like a foxtail-y type of structure.
But as genetics move along, that's not such an undesirable trait anymore. People actually
breed for those things, right,
because you're, like, if you look at it, you're, like, wow, that's different than what I normally see.
Exactly.
You know, especially, like, everyone sees the golf ball stuff coming out of dispensaries and everything else. This stuff has pretty crazy hairs and different shapes and stuff like that, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to throw that back in and try to grow again? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'll just keep on moving in.
I got you. That makes a lot of sense, man. And I think that that's something that a lot of people actually look for. And some people nowadays may be like, oh, well, foxtailing, bad. But a lot of breeders actually look for that unique thing that sets them apart, you know, because as you say, everyone can get those golf ball size nugs, but what makes it really sets you apart, makes you a little bit different. So, you know, so that's something that I think is really interesting.
Right. I noticed that in that structure, when it started the foxtail,
yeah,
that there's all these crevices for all of those trichomes to get intermingled and stack up. So, you know, it almost looks solid with trichomes in between some of these foxtail areas, which is very unique, very interesting.
Truth. Yeah, truth. And man, so many great things are dropping on today's episode when it comes to this shit, bro. Like, it's crazy, bro.
Right? It's fun, man. We just hang out and talk.
Yeah, man. You know? And like so many, and people in the chat as well, everyone who's tapped in right now, I'm seeing so many great things. A lot of you guys as well, you know, have helped us with like stuff for the show, like talking about the aspirin. Like, I actually didn't even think about talking about that one.
No.
I see Mama Kush says she uses that for cloning. She mixes it in some water.
Okay.
Crazy. Like the amount of different things that people do out here, and there's a lot of different ways to do things, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. So if you can incorporate something into your grow, then hell yeah, man, go for it.
Did you bring up what's going on with the Qualiterps drop?
Oh man, the Qualiterps. I forgot about that, bro. Yeah, but we actually do have the ICANN Pheno Hunter Qualiterps packs out, guys. I just seen someone asking about you know, they where they can get some beans, where they can score some beans. Definitely check out the ICANN Pheno Hunter packs, man. Those are for like literally only for hunters looking for true gems, because like those shits are like fire, man. You're gonna find some serious stuff in there, man. So if you're looking for something unique, something different, something that just differently stands out from the rest, and you're like really looking to hunt and find a bunch of different stuff, then that's for you, bro. Like, straight up,
I'm gonna run them and see what I get, but none of them are keepers.
Yeah, bro. Because you're always changing stuff out too, bro. But
yeah,
definitely, like, let me know what you get, because like there are a lot of different like desirable traits that like I personally have been trying to work with him with. And I think that, like, you know, frosty was a big one, so like I was looking for a lot of frost. So like most of them, you'll see a lot of frost. Super terpy, so I'm looking for things that just have like mad terps, bro. I'm not talking like you can grow some stuff that looks great but just doesn't have that smell, but I also wanted that smell. So with the Pheno Hunter packs, those are two things in particular that like I was trying to like get them to help me move with, you know.
I'm excited to try to find that cereal flavor.
Yeah, that's bro. The cereal one. Yeah, bro, that one, that's like the Captain Crunch, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm
looking for. Yeah. Oh yeah, man. So guys, definitely check. And if you guys also want, join up with the ICANN VIP Bean Club, man, because next month's drop is going to be crazy. So get in before that shit gets off. And Yeah, that's what's up.
Have your hoses ready because you're going to have to put out your mailbox.
Mailbox is going to be burning down, bro. So don't miss out, man. Definitely. But also, Midwest Kevin says, how do we get him? You can hit that link in the description, join up with the ICANN VIP Bean Club, or check out the website, ICANNTHC.com. I can't put a link to that simply because YouTube always strikes that link for some reason. So I can't actually link you guys to it, but just go to www.ICANNTHC.com. You guys should be able to sort that out. There's nothing for sale on there, guys.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Hey, there's pictures of genetics if you go into the genetics box.
Yeah.
But pictures, and it's for souvenir purposes only.
Souvenir purposes only, and the whole page is just educational purposes only. So don't snooze on that, man. So, yeah, man. Chris, I think we've touched on so many great things today, man. We've had a banging show, bro. Like, guys, there's so many things I think you guys can definitely pick up and learn on from today's show when it comes to IPM. Because remember, IPM is not one thing, right?
No.
It's a bunch of shits.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of shits.
So, I mean, if all you have to do is keep it clean, defoliate, and watch your environment, and that works for you, then that's your IPM. But you can definitely get to very detailed things.
Yeah, for sure, man. And when you get to that detail, you realize, like, you know, it helps you uncover layers. Like, oh shit, bugs can build up resistance to shits. I gotta switch up what I'm doing, just try different things, you know. And that way you can explore, figure out what works, what doesn't work. Like how I tried the DE didn't work for certain things, but it works for other things. Just experiment with it, go wild, go crazy, figure out what works, but just stay away from some of those systemic or whatever it's called, bro. Like, it's a mouthful. But those things actually that go down into your plant and stay in your plant for, like, for good. So remember, you're going to be consuming this plant. So just keep that in mind.
Yep. Be careful out there.
Hell yeah, man. Be careful out there. Well, before we actually close off, Chris, everyone wants to see where you're growing that fire. You brought over all these jars. You and Moore crushing it. Growing over that purple. This is so friggin' purple, bro. So tell them where they can find you and find out where you guys are growing, bro.
It's Canerado _Chris on Instagram. And it's Mo Grows Stuff. With a Z.
Grows
stuff.
Oh yeah. Mo Grows Stuff.
We just have fun, and she breaks a lot of the the bro science, because we're like, don't chop leaves on an auto, and she'll take them all off, and it's a beautiful plant. She doesn't care. So, you know, it's fun for back and forth, and this is our second run. And before we go, the DGC Cup.
Hell yeah, first, man.
In LaPorte, Colorado. Out there. Mo and I will be out there. She's entering this year. So the Friday night is the VIP party. Come say hi at the table if you're there.
Yeah, that's what's up, guys. Definitely check that out. We're going to be heading out to the DGC Cup too. And we got something in the works as well for ICANN. So you guys look out for that. But definitely we're going to be hanging out with the DGC Cup. Me and my man, Chris.
For sure.
Going to be blazing up. Smoke it up. You guys come and join us. You're going to sample tons of different stuff. And if you guys are out there, we can hang out, man. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, man, definitely check out Chris on Instagram, Colorado Chris. And also check out Mo's Grows, because Mo's Grows is fire. That purple, baby. We out here. So, yeah, man. Thank you guys so much for tapping in, man. We had a great show. Chris, thanks for coming out and hanging out in the studio, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks. And thanks to the whole ICANN fam.
Hell yeah. Thanks to the ICANN fam. Everyone tapped in. You guys hit that like. But wait, most importantly, don't forget, subscribe, stay high, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Wait, also, stay motherfucking high and stay motherfucking fly. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
Peace out.
Peace. Oh, man.